There's something really powerful about the wind, isn't there? That was a video taken on the 22nd of May, Friday, the 22nd of May, in the woods just close to my house. And it wasn't a particularly windy day, probably 4.6, 4.7 wind, 35 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour tops. But even with a little bit of wind, and even with a rather shaky amateur video taken on a mobile phone, we just sense some of its power. We hear the noise, we see the effects. Take that and multiply it over and over, and we get this in the second chapter of Acts. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So powerful, so wonderful, so full of life and colour. And this is what we celebrate today on Pentecost Sunday, when the church comes and praises God for the coming of the Holy Spirit and prays for a fresh filling, a fresh anointing, fresh power from Him. Two things this morning, very simply. First of all, the Spirit for us. We see there in the reading that they were all filled with the Spirit, verse 4. And this really is something for each and every one of us. Notice that the filling of the Spirit is not just for the Apostle Peter, who is going to speak later in the chapter. It's not just for the 12 apostles, it's actually for the 120 who have been referred to in chapter 1. Women and men together, young and old together, mature believers and those who are young in the faith, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And listen to the words of prophecy that Peter quotes. Listen again to what he says from the prophet Joel. I'll pick this up from verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. The prophet Joel was looking forward to the day when the Spirit was given to all of those who would come to God and call on Him. And here in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, this is being fulfilled. It's wonderful stuff. Don't feel that you're excluded from this, for the Spirit is given to all, whether you are young or whether you are old, whatever your gender, whatever your standing in the wider community, whatever category you could put in, this is for all of those who believe in Jesus Christ and who turn to Him and receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. And we see that different races are united. Certainly, people who come from different nations, different people groups, and they all hear the wonders of God being declared in their own language. Commentators point out that this is a reversal of what happens in Genesis 11, where you have the Tower of Babel and the building is stopped, the people are sinning and rebelling against God, and their language is confused. They suddenly don't understand what one another are saying. And so, through sin and rebellion, there is a division and a scattering. But here in Acts 2, something wonderful is happening. God comes and unites rather than divides. And all these people, this different, disparate group of people, are able to hear the wonders of God, the message of God declared in their own language. The Spirit for all, the Spirit for us. One of the things that we've been doing in recent days is social distancing. And legally, I've been able over the last few days to have some socially distant meetups with people who are very close to me. And that's been really special. We've obeyed the rules, both the letter and the spirit, but it's been lovely to see people face to face. And we need to do that. But as we look at the scriptures, we see that God doesn't do social distancing. We need to, but God doesn't. And he comes to us in Jesus, and he dwells among us, and he comes to us by the Holy Spirit, and he dwells within us, not at a 2 meter distance, not at arm's length, but within our hearts, within our lives, the Holy Spirit for us. You may feel that I've made a bit of a meal of this point and I've bashed away at it a bit. The fact that the Spirit is for all of us, for each one of us who believe. But I wanted to emphasize this, first of all, because I'm really excited by it and it's such a wonderful message. But secondly, because it's a really important thing for us to get about the Holy Spirit. Depending on your life experience, depending on how long you've been around in churches, it's possible that you've lived through a time where talk about the Holy Spirit has caused division in church life, maybe even a split in a church. What we see here in Acts 2 is that that is actually the polar opposite of what God intends. The Spirit unites rather than divides. Our own sin and rebellion scatter and divide, but God gathers and unites by the Spirit. Different gender, different ages, different races, different backstories. All of us can be united in God and empowered by the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Spirit, and we can be filled with the Spirit afresh today, each and every one of us. So that's the first thing, the Spirit for us. But we also see here the Spirit for others. It's really instructive, I think. The Holy Spirit falls, there are the tongues of fire, the mighty rushing wind that I referred to. And what is the first thing that happens? Well, it's missional, isn't it? The crowd who are around hear and see what's going on, and they are amazed and bewildered, we read. And then Peter gets up to preach and he declares indeed the wonders of God, the message of God, the story of salvation. And he urges people to believe and receive Jesus. Just listen again to verse 21. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Holy Spirit is for us, but the Holy Spirit, God's wonderful free gift of salvation, is for all who will respond, for all who will believe, for those who are yet to taste and see that our God is good. Two ways that we can apply this. Maybe that you're engaging with this service and it could be that you have gone away from God, that you sort of used to believe, you used to be within a church, but you have just gone away from that for all sorts of reasons, and you sense that God is calling you back. Maybe that you have never really, until recent days, given God, Jesus, the Christian message a second thought. Maybe that you've just rejected it as irrelevant, outdated, something that is for others. Well, the message here, whatever your backstory, however many twists and turns there have been in your life, however you feel about yourself, this is for you. God says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. This isn't for a special class of people. God's love reaches down to you. No one is excluded apart from those who exclude themselves. I just want to say a special word to those who may have wandered away. Wonderful story that Jesus tells in Luke 15 of a son who wanders off and then comes back to the Father. And it's a parable, a picture of how we can come back to God and how God receives us with wide open arms. And there is a celebration in heaven when we return. Come back to God today. Call on his name and receive the Holy Spirit into your life. That's the first thing. But there is a message very much to those of us who are inside the church. The challenge to keep in step with the Holy Spirit and to be missional ourselves. The Spirit for us, we rejoice, we celebrate, but the Spirit for others also. I know the countryside around Oswestry Street in Shropshire really well, spent many happy days there. And around Oswestry Street and into Mid Wales, you get some wonderful scenery. You get superb flowing rivers. There's a place called Pistol Rider where the waterfall comes down over the top of a mountain and it flows and it's full of life and colour. But when there's been a lot of sun, when there has been very little rain, you also see streams that have dried up. There's no water flowing at all. But you also see something else. I was out running one day and there was what looked at a distance, a wonderful scene, a lovely pool of water. But as I ran down, it was clear that everything wasn't as it should be. The smell hit you before you realised and before you actually saw what it was. And it was this stagnant pool. There was no life. There was this terrible stench. And it was because there was no outlet. The water came in, but the outlet had been blocked. So there wasn't any water flowing through. And so it had become stagnant and smelly. Three pictures of how churches can be, and indeed how we can be as individual Christians. We might be like a sort of dried up stream. The Spirit isn't flowing at all. James Packer talks about grooves that turn into graves and a lot of perspiration, but very little inspiration. Sometimes we can be like that, and we need to turn to God and receive the power, the flowing of the Holy Spirit afresh. But we can also sometimes be like the stagnant pool. The water is flowing in, but there's no outlet. We're not giving ourselves in Spirit-empowered mission. And when that happens, we can become stagnant because we're not engaging in God's purposes for us. The best way, God's way, the Acts 2 way, is to be people, to be churches, to be gatherings where the Spirit is flowing in and out. That is where there is life and colour and excitement and joy. the Holy Spirit is for us, for each one of us, and the Holy Spirit is for others. May we be a people of God who are flowing with the power of the Holy Spirit, who are receiving from God, but who are giving out also in mission. Because the message of Acts 2, the message of the scriptures, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved.